call to order the regular meeting of the Napomo Community Services District for Wednesday, April 26, 2006. Please rise and join me in the flag salute. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Bognuta, would you call the roll, please?
Director Eadie.
Here.
Director Trotter.
Here.
Director Worthing.
Here.
Director Winn. Director Bryan.
Here. At this time, I'd like to open it to public comment for any item that is not on today's agenda but within the jurisdiction of the district. Presentations will be limited to 3 minutes, and if you would state your name for the record, appreciate that. At this time, good morning, Mr. Fox.
Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Winn.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry to be
My name's Homer Fox, and I live in the district. I come across a copy of an agenda item that was on last week's meeting. It's called E4, and it deals with 300 water meters supposedly hooked up on vacant lots in Napomo here by escaping any increase in capacity fees. I would like the board, if possible, to kind of clarify this, how this come about. Why is there 300 vacant lots that have water meters? Maybe you can't answer it, but I just like it to be in the record. And do these water meters actually exist? Thank you very much.
Hey, well, thank you, Mr. Fox. I'll have to defer to staff if they so desire to answer that.
Thank you, President Verheilig. Mr. Fox has submitted a public records request to obtain some information on that. And so staff, just yesterday, and we'll be responding to that, of course, and staff's been looking into that, and it's actually, I don't think we're going to find that there are 300 vacant lots with water meters. Actually, we know of some. We'll look into it, see if we can define exactly how many. The statement was made in a staff report, and I think really included all will serve letters that we have outstanding right now, and really regardless as to whether there was a meter set or not, and it's not particular to how many lots actually. There are some developments that it might be one lot right now, but the plan is for a subdivision, and they may hold 40 will serve letters. So in any event, we have some research to do on exactly how many lots there are. This is what Mr. Fox is most interested in, is how many vacant lots are out there that have a water meter in place.
Okay,
so
well,
we will be getting that information to Mr. Fox and, of course, sharing it with your board when we have that information.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. O'Brien. Is there any other public comment? Please come forward.
My name is Joy Evans. I live here in Napomo.
If you could talk into the microphone for the record.
Joy Evans. I live in Napomo, and I'm new to these meetings. I've been in the area for quite some time, though. My question is, in speaking to a lot of my neighbors and stuff that have shown interest in this committee, their hours are 8 to 5. Why do we not, like the other Oceano and some of the other districts, hold meetings at a time when perhaps more of the community could be here for some input? The other districts have it televised so people can even see it. We get a little article in the Adobe, you know, local paper about what's going on, but it's not really enough information. I know there's quite a few new people in the area, and they're interested in these meetings as well, but they can't afford to take off work and buy our houses at our prices here. So I was just curious as to how we could maybe get, you know, out to the community some more so that they can be involved as well.
Thank you very much for your comments. Please, Mr. Seitz.
A quick response, and again, I'm the lawyer, so I don't speak for the policy of the board, so sort of keep in mind I'm not attempting here to dissuade the board or diminish your comments. First of all, there are a number of cities and districts in San Luis County that hold their meetings at different hours, or not all at night. I can tell you Cambria is Friday afternoon. Pismo Beach has an afternoon meeting and stuff. Secondly, this is from an historical perspective of mine. We used to have our meetings at night, and the attendance was actually low. And I'm not speaking for the board, but I remember the debate that we did take a look at the policies of whether or not we would get better attendance by having meetings during the work days in the, what you would say, the off hours, not in the evening, was an attempt to get attendance. And then secondly, that doesn't mean we don't change. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. Secondly, I think we did a poll asking the community whether or not, I forget the exact question that was asked, but the district did circulate a questionnaire at one time. I can't even remember what the questions was, but one of the issues was televising the meetings. And I think the response was very low on televising the meetings.
Well, right,
and that's why I wanted to make the statement at the very get-go. I'm not trying to reinforce policy or change policy. I'm just trying to give you, from my perspective, an historical answer as to why we are where we are with the issues that you brought up.
Yeah, I just want to add that we did that survey. It's probably been slightly over a year, and it has not been that long, and some of the responses were, if it was televised, would you watch it? And, you know, most people said no. So it wasn't worth the expenditures, which would be a cost to the ratepayers, to do the televising, which we sort of calculated would run close to $12,000 a year, $14,000 a year. And so that just sort of fell on hard times. Mr. LeBrun?
If I can add, the district's website, and what we recognized when we did the survey, and it was about a year ago, we went out and mailed with our bills a questionnaire, and it focused on time of meetings and recording of meetings. And one of the things that staff attempts to do is when we have an item that's of particular community-wide interest, for instance, we did this just last week. We had a special meeting in the evening. This was in regards to the financing of our supplemental water pipeline project, which will be a major public works project this district is beginning to undertake right now with environmental review. So we held an evening meeting on that to discuss in particular the financing options that the board is looking at. And one of the ways that you can stay informed about our meetings and agendas, because folks will say, I had no idea of that meeting. Right. And one of the best ways I think that you can now stay involved with the district and be alerted is if you use email to come to our website, and you don't use email. Well, I just.
That's an option for a lot of.
Okay, but. And let me just finish, because it's kind of a public record thing, and if you want to continue dialogue, you should come to the podium for our recording, it'd be best. But I just for the record, to make the statement that on our website, you can visit our website and you can sign up for automatic alerts, so that anytime we publish an agenda for regular meetings or special meeting, you receive an automatic alert, and then on our website, we post the entire agenda packet. Not just the agenda itself, but all the support material. So I do want folks to know that. And that's proven, I think, fairly effective. And it'll become more effective as years go on and folks access use of email is improving.
And plus we also post the minutes after each meeting too, so you can see what transpired.
Right, but that's still not getting it out to the public. I mean, the public can come here and see the minutes. If they're computer suave, you know, they can go look it up on the email. But as far as getting that meeting out to everyone, you know, I've recently spoken to some neighbors and they didn't know anything about it either. So how come we didn't have a flyer mailed? How come there wasn't something out to the public? You know, I understand that you've, you know, asked about whether people want it televised. When was the last time we sent out a survey to ask, with all this new growth and new people involved in the community?
It was about 1 year ago.
That you asked about the televised. But what about the attendance if the meetings were at a later?
And it was in the same survey. It was a survey for when would you like the meetings? If it was televised, would you watch it? So on and so forth.
So if you got community support to come in and ask you about changing this meeting to a later time so more people could attend, would it be an option you guys would consider?
We would certainly consider it, yeah. I lost my train. Mr. Wayne, please.
When I first started attending the meetings here, they were held in the evening. Mm-hmm. The reason I first was appointed to this board for a vacant seat is I was the only person in the audience most of the time. Mm-hmm. There was one other fellow who came from time to time because he had a lawsuit going against us. But except for myself and one other person, there was nobody here.
Yeah.
And this board changed to daytimes instead of evenings, and immediately we had far more people attending. Seniors that don't drive at night would drive in the daytime. Staff from the county who during their normal work day might come here if it was appropriate but would not come at night did show up in the meetings. And in short, I look at the audience like you do. It's a very small audience. I'm not thrilled about that. But this is about five times as big as what we used to have.
I just wonder, because there's been so much building going on and people are having all these new concerns about the community, you know, that maybe it's time to take a look at more people becoming involved, because people are very concerned about how this community is changing and what's going on.
At this time, we need to move on. You know, it is something we will take under consideration. As far as advertising, articles have been in the Adobe Press about having us having a website, so on and so forth. So we can't knock at each door and say, hey, we've got a website, look at it. Mrs. Worsley.
Thank you.
And then Mr. Trotter.
I find it interesting, in contrast to the advisory council, their audience versus this audience. Hmm. And I do believe that there is a lack of communication of what actually takes place at this board meeting. And I believe that, as I've always stated before, that we do have a lack of communication because we are split by our purveyors, and that's what makes it difficult. And what we do here sets precedence for the whole entire community. Thank you.
Mr. Trotter, please.
There's another aspect of this, and that is that staff often, most of the time, participates in these meetings. And evening meetings would be hard on the staff, in my judgment, because they have to be here during the day and then be at meetings in the evening. So that, I think that's a fact.
And if you stop and think about today's meeting, we'll probably get out of here by 4 o'clock if we're lucky. So, I hate to say it, it's going to be another long day. But yeah, so that would be if we started at 6, we would get out of here at 2 a.m. Don't think so. Anyway,
thank you.
Any more public comment? Okay, then seeing none, we'd like to move to the consent agenda. We have warrants, minutes, the safety meeting minutes, appraiser, property tax exchange. Mr. Trotter.
We have two visitors here today from Black Lake. One is Bill Nelson. Might raise your hand, Bill. And Ian Wallace. George Billinger fell yesterday, opened up a gash on his head and broke his elbow. So he'll be out of commission for a while.
Ouch.
But Bill Nelson has been recently appointed as an assistant to George Billinger to help communicate with Blackley. So you'll be hearing more from Bill.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Nelson, Mr. Wallace, for being here. Consent agenda. Questions? Comments? Clarifications?
I have one question. On the warrants, the $61,000 for the groundwater litigation, I could understand those, that being what it was earlier when we were in trial phase, but is this, what is this billing for? Is this, does this include some of the trial phase stuff?
Yes.
It's just a later bill?
Right. They're in the, you know, a month behind of their time.
Will it ever go down?
Well, we said,
Earlier
in the year, we thought we were well on track to stay under our the annual budget on this number. And of course, and once we saw the pre-trial and then trial invoices, which we're seeing now, we're quickly up to where our annual budget for the item is. We do expect that the phase, hopefully, we're looking at phase five, which with any luck will be the final phase, we'll have limited involvement in, so we don't at this point expect to see this high of invoice again, even come June when phase five opens up. We will have some involvement, but not be as involved here. We had an active role in the phase four portion of the project.
Mr. Wynn, do you have any?
I would like to ask further clarification, Steph. Are you saying that you believe we will be less active in phase five than we were in phase four?
Yes. That's my understanding. Taking as far as depositions prior to the trial and workup for the trial, and then our involvement in the trial at phase four, we had our lead lawyer. There was at least one lawyer with our firm that's representing us at the trial at all times, and I don't expect that. I don't expect as long of well. It's hard to say what to expect in phase
five. I just look at the issues to be decided in phase five and find more of them applying to Napomo than the more general issues that were in phase four. So we can talk about that.
Yeah, maybe we should talk closed session. I don't talk to see that.
Closed session. Mrs. Worsing, you have a
yes,
question?
I have a couple of comments or questions.
Questions?
On the South County Sanitary, the Old Town Trash Collection of $165, is that quarterly or monthly?
I believe that's monthly.
And how many containers do they pick up?
12. Manual pickup on each one.
So 12 divided into 165.
So we're paying like 12 residents worth of pickup.
And then I have another comment. Is it appropriate to speak of the minutes?
It sure is.
Okay. On E5, where we had our conversations, and I would like to have Mr. Verheilig's reprimand included in this in these comments, please.
Please. My outburst?
Yes. And I do have the bylaws that I would like to comment on during director's comments.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Trotter.
Under E2.
Of the minutes,
correct. I made the remark that I'm concerned that there won't be enough new construction to pay for the pipeline. And which inevitably, with a shortfall on that income, inevitably some of the pipeline costs will fall upon the ratepayers, which we have not omitted that possibility, but we have implied that it's not going to happen. So I think we should continue to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mr. Trotter. I had one question on the warrants. First first page, Hayes and Sons for the asphalt repairs. Does staff know where that was performed?
Yes, actually, that was out at our Black Lake wastewater treatment plant.
Okay. Great. I thought maybe it was the job they did at Taft Street there, which is, we now have one of those sinkholes where they hook to the water main.
If I may, President Verhaelic, some clarification. Director Trotter, you stated that those comments were made under E2. However, I'm thinking maybe it was E1, where we had our supplemental water project objectives discussion.
That's very possible. And in any event, I did make that comment.
Okay, and I just know E1 is a supplemental water project, where E2 we went into Southland, so.
That's fine.
I think I do recall being there, and we'll check the
The
audio.
Or it could have been E4, which is the draft funding options. Anyways, but I do recall Mr. Trotter. This time, then, would like to open it to public comment on any item on the consent agenda. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for a motion, second, and
move we accept the consent agenda and the minutes as amended.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wynn's a second, a motion by Mr. Eby, a second by Mr. Wynn. Madam Secretary.
Director Eby.
Yes.
Director Wynn.
Yes.
Director Trotter.
Yes.
Director Wilson.
Yes.
President. Yes. Moving on then to item number E1. Amend the annexation policy. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verhaelic. As your staff report outlines, since our annexation policy was adopted in September of 2003, there have been a number of board actions subsequent to that adoption that update board policy and have had some, some impact to the current annexation policy. So it was staff's intent here to recognize, among other things, the update of our sphere of influence in June 2004, and the update of our capacity charges, which became effective July 2005, and then most recently the update of our urban water management plan in January 2006. And in recognizing those, we went into the annexation policy and have suggested revisions here. I've attached first a red line, which is really a blue line version, but just clearly showing the recommendation staff is making for changes. And then finally, we have a resolution and a clean copy of the recommended annexation policy. I'd like to point out that the main changes come within the language where our current annexation policy talks about supplemental water deposit amounts and zones of benefit, and we've substituted out that language in recognition of our now supplemental water-based capacity charges. And other than that, as you've seen in the redline version, staff has made some minor language revisions intended to improve clarity and consistency of this document with, again, these subsequently adopted documents. So it's staff's recommendation to consider the proposed changes, review and revise as necessary, and approve by adoption of the resolution the updated annexation policy.
Okay, thank you, Mr. LeBrun. Mr. Eby, I believe you have a...
I was led to believe when this was coming up on the agenda that this was going to be minor changes to the annexation policy to accommodate events that have happened since the last time it was written. But when I went through it, I got to admit that only for an hour and a half, it looks to me like there are major changes in here. And I think it's appropriate to review all these today, but I'd like to spend more time reviewing the changes to the policy and anything we discussed today before we adopt it. So I would like to make sure that we don't try to approve this today, but we bring it back with whatever discussions take place today, bring it back at the next meeting or any subsequent meeting before we approve it. I just think that there are a whole lot of things in here that are different, and I think there are some things that are missing that I think should be in there. So I just don't want to close it off today.
I agree with that.
Yeah, there was a lot of changes made, and I took out my old one and this and went through, and yeah. Actually, since we do have interim GM interviews this afternoon starting at 1:30, I want us to at least go into closed session no later than noon. And given we have a fair amount of agenda items to go through, I think a lengthy discussion, although we do have an hour for it.
Larry, for the motion, would you delay this to be in order right now?
I think a motion to
defer
this to a, and I think we need to set a date certain.
I don't mind discussing it.
Mr. President, just for staff, just for staff's clarity, staff of course is happy to bring this back. That's not what the topic of my conversation is. But if there are concerns that we bring it back, we would like to hear them now so that we can bring back a version that is consistent with where the board is going, so that the edits at the next meeting could be minor in relation to what's brought back. But on the other hand, this is a policy issue for the board to decide what they want to do with it.
Well, we do have a motion. Would you like to rescind your motion so we can have at least a half hour of discussion on this?
My motion stands.
Okay.
If there's a second to the motion and we're going to move forward, I would still suggest that you take public comment on the draft that's before you, because this is an agenda item move off.
We certainly do need to do that. Mrs. Worsing.
Could Mr. Trotter repeat his motion?
Yes, he certainly can if he so wishes.
State my motion?
Again.
Yes, can you repeat your motion?
Simply that we defer action on the policy until we can examine it more thoroughly.
Let me ask for clarification. Do you mean we don't vote to approve or not approve today, but we can still discuss it? Can we hear what the changes are that Mr. Eby sees?
Fine.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. I think we have.
Is anyone prepared to make? Ed, are you prepared to make some comments now?
Yes.
Well, let's go with that.
With your motion that we don't make final action.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay. Would you care to withdraw your second?
No. I thought it was a good motion.
I did.
Well,
it's not a bad motion.
Would like to go ahead and move on so we can open it.
Doesn't make a difference.
Public comment.
No, wait a minute. This was agendized for discussion today.
Yeah, right. And that's what I'm planning on.
His motion only says we don't take a final vote.
Right.
Why don't we vote on his motion and move ahead into the discussion?
Before we do that, then, we want to open it for public comment.
Would it be better phrased to defer final action?
Yeah.
Until further discussion.
Okay. That's what I seconded, I thought.
Okay, that's fine.
The motion is to defer final action.
That's fine.
And we have a second. Would like to open it to public comment, though, before we take a vote on this. Okay, seeing almost.
just so I can clarify, I don't think we need public comment on a motion that we're not going to take final action today, because what my understanding is that we're still going to discuss this, and the public would have the opportunity during that discussion to approach, take public comment before we would move on to the next agenda item.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have people coming up here twice if that's the way it's going to roll.
Madam Secretary, could you call for the vote on the motion to defer this item? Final action.
Director Trotter.
Yes.
Director Eby.
Yes.
Director Worsley.
Yes.
Director Winn.
Yes.
President Verheyen.
Yes. Okay, now I'm going to open it to the board for comment. Mr. Eby.
Okay, I had two types of comments. One was the usual minor details, and then I had some major things that I thought needed to be deleted or added. So do you want me to just go down my list?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Please.
The first blue line is in section 2 on intent, where you reference the San Luis Obispo County's resource capacity study. Since that study varies in time, I think you should be specific on what revision number you're talking about or what date of issue for that document.
Mm-hmm. And that would be 2005.
I don't know what the latest
one is.
I don't know what they're referring to, but we should be able to keep it.
It's 2005, yeah.
And if it is 2005, then that's what gets locked in. And if they change it after that, this is still reference to the 2005 version. Second is, I don't understand why the next deletion was. The deletion said, or pay for the cost of supplemental water for the area of annexation as condition of district approval. I think that is still what we're kind of asking for in the in lieu fees. So I don't know why that was deleted. Maybe you can explain later, but I don't. You don't need to tell me now, but I'd just be curious. Okay, I can go past that one. Now I think this is important about opposed to formation of homeowner associations for the operation of water. I assume this means the mutual water companies. This is on E on the following page. Second paragraph, where you typically says the district is opposed to the formation of homeowner associations for the operation of water systems. I assume that's kind of like a mutual water company.
It could be a variety of different operations. This is, of course, a carryover from our prior policy, but it's, I think what we came up with this policy statement, this is just from my memory, and it's been in our annexation policies for a number of years now. I think the primary thing is, number one is mutual water companies is certainly one of the issues here, because that qualifies as a community water system under the county's general plan. The second one was, which doesn't come under the county's general plan, is homeowners operations of sewer systems. So it was addressed. It was addressed just to make a broad-based policy statement in our annexation policies related to exactly what you're saying, Mr. Eby.
Okay. I guess then I would prefer that to be broken out into two sentences. One would be water, and one would be sewer. And I wouldn't support the water objection. And the reason is, typically, specifically, this Holloway case that came up. Some people don't want Holloway to form a mutual water company just right. Because of the precedent it sets. I think it would be a grand idea for Holloway to form a mutual water company over the short term, because if we annex Holloway, he gets water from our system, which primarily comes from the areas of the depression. If he runs a mutual water company and takes his water locally, he probably won't be taking any more water than he's taking now, and the water that he uses for that development will not be a burden on the cones of depression where we're pumping most of our water. And in that case, and when we get the supplemental water, that position's going to change. And I would say that he would be glad to shut down his Mutual Water Company then, because it's probably too cumbersome to operate. But in the interim, if he's going to develop out there and going to do it before we have supplemental water, he's going to be drawing water from down there where we have the problems, as opposed to if he had a Mutual Water Company, he'd be drawing it locally. That's my opposition there.
Okay. Of course, this is a policy issue, so I'm just highlighting some of the issues that policy would raise, at least in my mind. First of all, Mutual Water Companies, by their very nature, pump from the groundwater basin at a very cheaper rate than even what I think what we typically pump from and deliver to our customers, and it certainly would be a much cheaper rate than the supplemental water. So the legal issues that become entangled in that, number one is you're allowing a Mutual Water Company in one instance, and even though Holloway could be an exception, you are then setting a precedence for other Mutual Water Companies to form on the Mesa. Secondly, from a legal perspective, if the residents in a Mutual Water Company have significant investment in a Mutual Water Company, and there is an investment in it, and the cheaper rates to take them off of the Mutual Water Company scenario and then place them into our system is going to be an expensive dilemma for the people within the Mutual Water Company to face. Now, I'm not saying legally we can't do something and put something together. I can tell you it'll be complex. And lastly, I would just say this is a policy statement, about that. But I'm willing to make the change. It's a policy issue. I just want to make sure everybody understands the implications of the policy if you move with it. I see from the lawyer's perspective, interim Mutual Water Companies as not necessarily being I see it as being a very difficult deal to address once the supplemental water is there, and then moving them off the Mutual Water Company and into the district system.
I agree with exactly what you're saying for the reasons you say, but we are in a transitional period between having cones of depression and having supplemental water, and it's going to be a different situation later. Now, one of the developments that I've heard you discuss is planning on proceeding that way. The Craig operation, I have heard, is going to proceed with the Mutual Water Company and then switch over to us. It isn't unheard of, that concept.
Well, let me just point out just another thing that kind of goes along with this is, of course, the annexation policy is somewhat bifurcated between those areas that overlie, this is a new term now, the Napomo Mesa Management Area. And that's a new term of art for us, because we used to call it the Napomo Hydrologic Sub-Area. But this is consistent with the language that's in, of course, the court pleadings in our groundwater adjudication. We recognize two different types of annexations. One is those that overlie the Napomo Mesa Management Area that could, we don't support it, but could produce adequate groundwater to serve the proposed development. That may be the Holloway example that Mr. Eby is talking about. We also recognize those areas that we call dry areas, that they don't overlie the groundwater basin. And what our policy goes on to state elsewhere is that if we make a finding that we have adequate interim water and the proposed development overlies the groundwater basin. I'm going to use, I'm not saying Holloway does or doesn't, but make the assumption for this discussion that it does. The district is in a position, prior to the wet water being actually delivered to the district, to provide that interim service through our system. So, if they overlie a dry portion of our area and are annexed in, our policies are very clear, wet water has to be delivered to them. So these policies aren't on point with what Director Eby is pointing out, but they do address in sort of another way that very issue, that we can provide interim water if we make the finding that we have the ability to do it. Secondly, under the LAFCO procedures, under the LAFCO policies and the environmental impact report that they have established, they won't, ostensibly the way it's written right now is we can't, LAFCO won't give final approval to an annexation until we have the contract in place with the city of Santa Maria. So it looks all to world to us, and I'm a lawyer, not an engineer, that if we assume that the contract is finally approved and the CEQA issues are all met, and as you know, we've got these things on our agenda, that between the contract and the actual delivery of supplemental water, and I'll leave it to the engineers to tell you the time frame or your staff, but I don't think it's going to be a long time off.
Mr. Trotter, you had a...
In my judgment, it would be very, very difficult to get people in a municipal water company to come to the district once it's established. Because if you think about the costs contributing to this, to their water charges, they're going to be significantly different. Now, there's an overriding possibility that the county may insist that everybody helps buy supplemental water. That's a real plus. But that hasn't happened, and it's very, very, very political. So.
But it's quite likely to happen soon.
Mr. Wynn.
I think we're heading off down a different road than what we said we were going down. Mr. Eby told us that there were some minor changes here, and then there were some changes that it made that were major changes in policy. We're discussing a paragraph that had no changes at all. It's been there for years. So what we're doing is not what we agendize, but rather we're making a comprehensive revision here on the spot of the entire annexation policy. I don't even think that's legal.
Well, I just wanted to comment, from what I've heard so far, it almost sounds like we need a study session to go over this in very fine detail. Having an hour's worth of time is not going to hack it, and we don't really have that time, unfortunately.
I mean, I think what the real message is that they don't like the annexation policy and they want to change it, and that's a whole different process. There's some cleanup language that we could go through and point out. And if Mr. Eby sees additions or changes to this policy that are substantive, I want to see what those changes are. But to start discussing stuff that had no changes at all doesn't make sense, I don't think.
Mrs. Worsing,
thank
please.
Thank you. It's my opinion that this is major deletions, major. And I believe that we need to have a real redlined in the good old traditional way of the redlining, because this is very difficult to follow these little tiny lines and to see the major deletions here, because they're changing the whole context of with these deletions. And I think it would be much more appropriate for us to be able to realize what has actually been deleted, and it's changing the whole context.
You want to go back to my original motion?
Yes.
I like your original motion at this point in time, if nobody minds.
Can we pick up your suggestion of a study session then? Incorporate that with his motion?
Can That's you fine. Incorporate that?
That's fine.
If I may.
Mr. LeBrun, we do need to go to public comment.
Understood. Just 2 points of clarification or to add to what District Council has explained in regard to mutuals. The other aspect of mutuals, not just the investment that the property owners have made, but that mutual, once established, has seniority to this district, to groundwater rights. And to think in my mind that we would convince property owners with a senior right to groundwater to now come into the district's fold pay $15,000 a home to allow them to do that, it becomes pretty far-fetched. The other is that on the Craig annexation, as approved, the general plan amendment that was approved by the Board of Supervisors, the condition required them to come to us. There was no interim mutual allowed. And then finally, as the board deliberates here, your board may consider a subcommittee to look at this first, or a full working session, maybe a subcommittee first before a study session with the board, or however you'd like to approach it, staff. Ready and willing to support.
Well, then at this time, I want to open it to public comment on this item, on the annexation policy. And then we'll go for a motion and so on and so forth. Good morning, Mr. Nestor.
Good morning, Greg Nestor, builder developer. I do want to comment to the cost of mutual water companies. I've had the opportunity, I'll say, to work on developing one of those. And when you go over, I believe it's 5 or 6 units, the state requires minimums, and your storage volumes start at 180,000 gallons. And if you have landscape surcharges over and above that, you need to accommodate those to allow for that minimum storage. And for 7 houses, actually 8 houses total, we will have over $335,000 into our water company on Sunday. Also, John's right, there'll be some negotiations the day that the water company is supposed to abandon its equities that have been spent in regards to that. And we would have rather contributed that to the supplemental water, but that wasn't where the politics were. So anyway, if it's appropriate, or if it's time also, when your annexation modifications are being proposed, if the public could participate, we would appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nestor. Any other public comment on this item? Mr. Trotter, could you make your motion?
Before he makes a motion, I would like to recommend that,
okay,
that the whatever gets decided, it will be a full study group rather than just a small committee.
Yeah,
because otherwise, yeah, you're going to run the risk of the committee having one opinion and the board in general having big differences. So it's better to get those discussions taken care of early, mm-hmm, in the pre-meeting. So
yeah, I agree that we do need, yeah, a full board study session rather than a subcommittee.
John, has my original motion been rescinded, or do I do that first?
No. What I would do, because I'm sitting here as your legal counsel, and I could see that this study session is going to be
major.
Well, it could be hours, literally.
Yeah, it's going to be a major
and study. This may be something that the board would want to set a special meeting,
yes,
to just have this on the agenda so staff can be focused on this. Yeah. I think the other thing is that from staff's perspective, just from an organizational perspective, if the board members could give us their comments, I'm not saying you have to, I'm just saying it'd be a luxury for staff, of course, to have your comments in advance. It's not that we can't do it differently, but so that we can be prepared to respond. I mean, or not respond, but, you know, to analyze them and bring them back with some type of analysis at the study session.
I'm prepared to do that anytime.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Mr. Trotter, did you want to?
I'd like to rescind. I think the board should rescind my original motion, whatever it was.
I think we already did that, as I recall.
That's fine. And make a new motion that a special meeting be held to address this policy, which is quite complicated. And before the special meeting is planned, that John be consulted as far as the format is concerned. And it should be a full board. It should be a meeting of the full board. That's my motion.
Second.
I have a second. Motion and a second. Motion by Mr. Trotter, second by Mr. Eby. Let's go ahead and vote on it.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Wersing?
Yes.
Director Winn?
Yes.
President Verhaelen?
Yes. And before moving on to the next item, do we want at this time to set a date certain for this study session?
I don't care.
All I care about is you make it on a Wednesday, so it doesn't interfere with other people's meetings.
Okay, then I guess we will move on to our next item. Because my Wednesdays are getting, well, I'll just find one. We have in another study session to set up for our draft budget during next week, so. Item number E2, the Hetrick Waterline Update. Mr. LeBrun, please.
Thank you, President Verhaelen. We have, this is an item that requires no action, and our intent here is to update the board on this project and give an overview of our public works project process in general. And to do that, we'll turn to Bruce Buell, the district's project assistant.
Thank you, Mr. LeBrun. Good morning, Board, and Bruce Buell with your staff. This morning, we would like Josh Reynolds, the design engineer from Boyle, to provide a very short overview of the project, the design features, the cost, and the schedule. And when Mr. Reynolds is done, we'd also like to talk about construction management and environmental review. So with that, if I might introduce Josh Reynolds from Boyle.
Good morning, Mr. President and members of the board. My name is Josh Reynolds, Boyle Engineering. Bruce is going to pull this over for me. I made a brief little exhibit here showing sort of a summary of this project. We started picking up this project as recommended through the master plan. It's on the CIP list. It's to upgrade the currently 8-inch water line that runs along Hetrick Road from around Willow, as we'll call it, to Live Oak Ridge. Mm-hmm. That runs from the standpipe as a 12 and then turns into an 8 from a short section, about 915 feet. That's an 8-inch water line from Willow to Live Oak Ridge, where it then splits into two other directions. So the plan from the master plan was to upgrade that to, actually I believe it was recommended as a parallel 10, so you'd keep the 8-inch in place, put a 10-inch beside it, run both water lines at the same time. Our recommendation has been to just put in a new 12-inch, since the cost between a 10 and a 12-inch pipe is really minimal increase, abandon that 8-inch pipe because it's extra cost to operate and maintain that pipeline. It's a bit older. I'm not sure if that pipe is PVC or transite. I know there's a lot of transite pipe in the area over there, and that can be very costly to maintain the transite pipe. So, I have here just a couple of photos looking up and down the road. This is south of the intersection of Live Oak Ridge. The current pipeline runs actually off in the shoulder here. Our proposed alignment is going to bring it out to the pavement because you can't get on the other side of it to stay in the dirt. There's not any room there. In the oak trees, which you can see here and here. This is facing north at about the midpoint. It's pretty open out there. And this is where we tie in. Here's the existing valve cluster. This is where it reduces from a 12-inch line to the 8-inch line. There's a fire hydrant here, which will be replaced. That's an old style fire hydrant. Along this alignment, we have three connection points. We're going to connect down here at Live Oak Ridge to the existing alignment down here. We'll connect here to this 8-inch line that runs down Willow Road, and then we'll connect here to the existing 12-inch pipeline. That's a pretty straightforward project. At this point, the cost estimate I'm running here, which, you know, my opinion of the probable construction cost, to use Boyle's preferred language for these items, is $203,000 with a 15% contingency, brings a total of $233,000. You know, but that's highly dependent on cost of petroleum, asphalt, PVC pipe, you know, gasoline. Those things tend to go up pretty quickly, so depending on how far out before we construct, the real price could be somewhat different, although I generally get pretty close on these opinions of cost and when I update them just before bidding. At this point, the plans and specifications have been sent to the district for review. District staff is reviewing them. They've got some minor comments to me. They went over to the county encroachment permit officer, Tom Stokes, and he's reviewed my pavement replacement plan. He had some minor comments back to me. The front-end documents, which comprise the bid documents, the insurance requirements, the bond forms, and the actual contract that the contractor would sign after the public bid process, is being reviewed at this point by Mr. Seitz. So, and then it's out for, the district is trying to find an environmental consultant to issue what should be a negative declaration, what could possibly be a mitigated negative declaration, depending on the findings of the environmental consultant. So that's sort of this project in a nutshell. I'd really like to answer your questions.
Would you clarify why you would want to go underneath the pavement as opposed to alongside of the road? I mean, it seems to me that we would end up paving a new road.
You're gonna,
if we dig it up.
It'll end up paving, I think, 8 feet, 7 feet into the road when you go into the road. I didn't include a breakout on the pavement cost for that. But the reason that you can't get on the outside, I don't know if it shows it very well in these pictures. There's a couple of several oak trees right along here. And at the location of this current pipeline, as you can see in here, this existing pipeline already runs under the drip line of these oak trees, especially this one. It's really close to this one here, and close to these and these. If we get this pipeline on the other side of that 8-inch line, you're going to be in the oak tree, and that's going to become mitigation from the environmental process.
Okay.
And then we're also going to end up running through this homeowner's landscaping right here, which can always become expensive.
Yeah.
You have to replace it. And so to me, when I look at this, going in the pavement is a known cost. Right? I mean, it's something that we can quantify. Going into an oak tree, cutting through someone's driveway, and redoing their landscaping is an unknown cost, and that's a risk. And I really try and minimize these so that, you know, you always have to trade off here whether you're going to be cutting initial cost or construction cost, but maybe opening yourself to some change orders or some delays in the project process versus maybe a slight increase in price, but now you're going to have something that's in the right way, in the pavement, that should in the future be easy to find, locate, and maintain.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Trotter.
Josh, I need a geography lesson here. You make reference
yes.
to Willow. Is it a paper road at this time? Is it a dirt road?
This is what I'm talking about here. That's what it shows on the maps as Willow. I believe that there was a proposed Willow somewhere in this area as well. That there's actually this existing 12-inch line has a T with a blind flange off of it for a future connection right here where this ends. And I don't know for sure. I don't really have the history on the roads out there in the right-of-ways, but my guess is that in somewhere there was a proposed at one point, right, because the Willow Road is supposed to extend out to 101,
right.
And there's various alternatives out here, but this is the road I'm speaking of right here.
Well, actually, there is a road going off to the left up there.
A dirt
and
road?
This is actually a paved road, and it's called Willow Road Extension, but it's to the left. It's
this one.
That one right there.
Okay.
And
this
I
one
think,
shows up if you pull up MapQuest or Google Maps,
yeah.
Or you look at the quad map that pulls out of this up as Willow Road as well.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the sign said out there when I was out there.
This all gets very confusing.
Yeah,
because of that.
Yeah.
Mrs. Worsen,
yes.
Please.
Excuse me, thank you. If staff could please give us a history as to what's prompted this update, I would appreciate
This was identified in our 2002 master plan as a needed update. The idea that was stated in the master plan, and they talk about the Mesa area of Napomo to increase flow characteristics, and this was one of the projects. And this, and to the south of this map, is what's considered the Mesa area of Napomo, in our master plan terminology, if you will. So, again, identified in the master plan, the idea being, right now we have a flow restriction here, this 8-inch between our million-gallon storage tank here and this area, and this will allow actually better flow in both directions and improvement to our water distribution system.
Has there been problems and complaints about the flow for fire flow in this area? I'm just really trying to bring it because this was some time ago.
Right. No, we don't receive particular problems and complaints necessarily. Actually, I do hear often about one water quality issue out on Olympic Road from one of the directors. But other than that, no actual complaints regularly. But again, I think the purpose here is to identify these upgrades and issues prior to
Michael,
complaints.
Shouldn't you mention that much of the system rides on the tank adjacent to this pipeline? That's a factor, isn't it?
It is a factor, and I'm sorry if I haven't been clear about that. We have a million-gallon storage tank right here that provides surge flows up into the Summit Station area and then also down to the Mesa area. So if we have a constriction here, which is what we have, again, an 8-inch pipe connecting into, I think these are each 8s, and then to a 12. So we looked at our master plan, it identifies this. A year ago, I thought, you know, we have that in our budget for capital improvements this year, and I thought, let's take a nice, easy one, because we'll be able to knock this out right quick. And here we are, and really that was the idea in prioritizing this, was to establish this process for public works projects, and that was again part of the idea today was for Mr. Reynolds and our projects assistant to outline the process that we have, or that we are really establishing as we go through this, the first in many on our horizon public works improvement projects with our system.
Mr. Eby, please.
I've got a couple. Maybe I won't have more than one. If depends on the first answer. Could you please outline where on this big picture here this 900 feet is?
Yes, it's right from Live Oak Ridge to the Willow Road Extension intersection, right there.
Oh, okay.
So it's this, and I'm sorry, I...
And then okay, so you're going to 12 inches in that place, mm-hmm. too, for pressure reasons. Beyond there, what is the size of the line?
This line is 12-inch line. Up to here, and then up to the tank. I believe that's a 16. Stick a 16 right here.
Okay, 16. So what you're doing is you're filling in a gap that was a choke point, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. This represents a choke. It's 8-inch line that's currently connected, and sorry about the shaking here, but currently connected to 12 inches. Okay, then we throttle down to 8, and then here's a node where two 8-inch lines come in.
Okay, so that will then make more capacity available, more higher flow rate available to the standpipe.
Both directions.
In both directions.
Water here flows in both directions. Uh-huh. Of course, when we're filling the standpipe, it's flowing up into the standpipe. But once the standpipe's in the standard, the standpipe is in and out flow. It's handling the. If you get a major demand in here, say a fire flow demand, right now the pressure dip in the system is going to be greater because of this flow restriction. Once we open up this flow restriction, major demand in this area will respond better because you'll have better flow from the standpipe. Of course, we have our other reservoir systems are about over here on Joss's shirt. Up Teff Street is where our other major reservoir system is.
Okay, my final question is, beyond the standpipe to the north, what is the size of that pipeline?
It's 12-inch, I believe, or
I'm not sure, honestly.
I can actually inquire the system right here, but I believe it goes 12 up to a node where it breaks off into 10-inch pipelines, and then further breaks down as we distribute
and
up into the Summit Station.
Down to Lynn Road, it was a 10-inch line, and that was they made a larger line than that.
The Lynn Road annexation and is I'm up on the wall now. It's up over in this section of the Summit Station area, and
okay. Mr. Witt.
No.
At this time, then, would like to open it to public comment on this project.
Thank you.
Mr. Wallace, if you can
come,
please. please come to the podium, state your name for the record, and, you know, it's just like the Board of Supervisors, unfortunately.
Ian Wallace, I'm a resident served by NCSD. I would just like to mention that you're putting a new pipe in there. It'd be a good time to communicate with CDF on adding any fire hydrants that might be needed along there. Make sure we get them in along with the new pipe. That's all.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wallace. Any other public comment on this item? Then seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Mr. Buell, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Larry?
Whatever.
Okay. A couple of comments. Mr. Reynolds commented earlier on the need for CEQA review. California Environmental Quality Act establishes a protocol for all projects. There, first, you determine if they are a project. If they are a project, you determine if they're categorically exempt. And there's 18 classifications of categorical exemption. A project like this, of this short magnitude, would normally be exempt. But because we're adding capacity to the line, we've done a search, and we firmly believe that that we would be exposing the district to risk if we attempted to deem this to be categorically exempt. What we have done is to circulate what's called a request for statement of qualifications. We sent that out to six firms to establish a protocol similar to what we're doing with plan checks now, where we know what the qualifications of various firms are, and we would bring back proposals to your board in regard to the actual assignment. But those proposals are due tomorrow, and what we would request is that your board agree to accept the draft engineering design here as the proposed project for that environmental review. If that is the case, if you're able to agree on that today, then we will proceed with getting the actual quotes for the specific CEQA review for this project and bring that back to your board. We expect that we can do this work this winter when the flow, the demands are the lowest. We do not want to do this project in the summer or the fall when you have high flows in this reach of your system. Also, I wanted to note that we've also developed a request for statement of qualifications on construction management. When your firm first looked at this issue in 2005, your board was very clear that you wanted a different firm to do construction management than the project engineer. So we also have a request for statement of qualifications for construction management firms. If the board is interested, I do have copies of both of those requests for statements of qualifications. Again, we would bring all of that back to your board, and we can do both the environmental review and the request for proposals on construction management this spring and fall and summer, so that we're able to bid the project this fall and build the project this winter. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Buell? Okay, then we would need a motion.
Wasn't this information?
I guess, actually, no, there is no action on this one, but yeah. I think that's a good presentation.
Thank you, sir. I just would like to know if there's any objections to proceeding with the environmental review of this project as proposed.
Any objections from the board?
Excuse me.
Mrs. Worsing, please.
Yes, thank you. And do you have an estimate of what this would cost, the CEQA report?
Actually, we expect it will be well under $10,000. We don't know that for a fact. We don't have the proposals yet from the environmental review firms, but that is our expectation.
Yeah, let me just make a quick comment here. I think the engineer's design is the proposed project, so I don't believe that we need to have the board make that leap here today clearly not on the agenda for the board to take any action, so I think we can just move forward.
And our bylaws, although I was never thrilled by this, say that we will only give direction to staff by ordinance, resolution, and what was the third one?
Minute order.
Yeah. And we said, well, no, wait a minute, what about these little straw in the wind kind of comments that we give to sort of tell them to go ahead? And we were told that that wasn't proper.
Well, first of all, it, you know, the way this is agenda, there's a no action requirement. So, on the agenda, so I think it'd just be inappropriate for the board to take action. I think if the board has any objections to the proposed project, that you could clearly put it on the schedule for the next agenda at this point in time and resolve it.
But just for the record then, it is the board's consensus that staff move ahead with this, to do the EIR study. Well, it's not an EIR, it's a CEQA study. And then bring the information back to the board. Yes, item number E3, supplemental water land use ordinance. Mr. LeBron.
Thank you, President Verheilig. As your board knows, on May 9th, the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo will consider a general plan amendment which may put in place a supplemental water standard. And your board reviewed this at our last meeting. We had a staff report that was actually the Planning Commission staff report when county staff took this in front of their Planning Commission as a first step. Staff at our April 12th meeting was directed then to draft a letter that would state this board's official policy and position on this proposed land use ordinance amendment that the county is considering. And so staff has drafted the letter and is looking today to your board to review and amend the letter and then direct staff to transmit the letter. I will say I have been in contact with county planning staff that is carrying this item. They expect to have the staff report out for the May 9th agenda item. I was given a time frame of about 2 weeks before the item, and by my numbers that says we should have seen that yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I have not seen that staff report as of this date. But I have been in contact with county staff directly and am assured that I'll receive an email announcement as soon as it's available. So we'll follow up.
Okay, thank you, Mr. LeBron. Questions, comments, revisions to the letter, changes, anything? Mr. Wynn.
Let me suggest just some of the busy little changes. In the first paragraph, there should be a comma after 2006 in each situation. Two are there and two aren't. And then in the first two paragraphs, it should be ITS, no apostrophe. What the apostrophe means, it is, and we don't mean that. Otherwise, I think it's a fine letter and says what we want it to say. I would hope that we would copy, I assume that you will copy other members of the planning department. It would not be restricted only for distribution to Mr. Hand, who's in Minnesota right now. I'm planning on staying there. I don't know.
Arizona, actually.
Arizona?
Yeah, I also felt it should go to the Board of Supervisors, Mr. Holanda.
Yeah.
Planning director and whomever else might be appropriate. Mr. Eby.
Yes, I had some nitpicking ones and some more substantial ones. The nitpicking ones, I think in your third paragraph where you say infrastructure-based, shouldn't there be a hyphen between infrastructure and based?
Yes.
Two places in that paragraph? And then in the last paragraph on that page, second line in the paragraph, homes, annual water usage, I think there should be a home apostrophe S.
Hmm.
Or good maybe case. S apostrophe, some one or the other.
No, A would be singular.
Okay, then the more substantial ones, this is going to be a planning area standard, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's my understanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Land use ordinance versus planning area standard, or do you want to say both? I guess I don't know that it matters. Okay. Now, the more substantial ones are in the second paragraph, it is the interest of the district and its customers to ensure future planned development does not da-da-da-da. I don't think that we're going to ensure anything by doing this, or it's our intent to ensure. If you replace the word that, its customers, that it expresses our desire, but I don't think we have any hope of ensuring this.
Good.
That's just a comment on the meaning there. Oh, then down in the third paragraph, the word revisable, wonder if there isn't a better choice of words like flexible or revisable. Sounds kind of clumsy. And then the really important one to me is in the last paragraph, the sentence, the district suggests the ordinance includes specific restrictions on turf area, new residential constructions. I think that's getting a little more detailed than we should be getting. I think maybe we could recommend guidelines, that is a guideline, but suggesting that there are specific restrictions is number one, I think. I just don't like to see that. But to be more practical, number two, this restriction is only going to be a restriction to the plans of a residential development. Because the day that that developer sells the place,
right,
whether he puts in that landscaping or not, and I don't know that the developers are required to put in landscaping, but the day that the developer loses control of that property and the homeowner has it, he can put in the turf. So it really doesn't do any good other than put in an administrative step that the developer is going to have to go through that I think it's overkill is what I'm saying. And those are all the comments I have.
Mr. Wayne?
I can say that turf restrictions such as this mentions are already in place in the city of Rio Grande. And they are on the statewide guidelines to be adopted by the landscape conservation districts. So we certainly are in line with both local, you know, it's being done locally and it's to be adopted statewide. So I agree with Mr. Eby that somebody can come along and decide they're going to take out ground cover and put in lawn. But we show good faith by not encouraging that up front, and I think that's our game.
Okay, Mrs. Worsing, do you have?
Yes, please.
Some
is there some way to put in the letter that we would like to emphasize that this is not to facilitate general plan amendments? Because that's what we're assuming if you read the first part of their report. Says general plan amendments and land divisions.
I may just make a quick comment. I think Ms. Worsing brings up a good point. But on the other hand, what this, to my perspective, is what this land use ordinance amendment or general plan overlay accomplishes is a restriction on general plan amendments. In other words, there is no requirement for supplemental water for general plan amendments right now. Well, I think what the county is considering is actually a restriction on general plan amendments, is that they won't go forward without supplemental water. I just want to make sure the board understands how I perceive what the county is considering.
That's not how I understand it.
Well, this is not a planning area standard that encourages GPAs and land divisions. All it says is, if you want a GPA or a land division, you will take supplemental water, period.
Planning area standards are restrictions over and above the general plan.
Yes.
What they are is, you've got a general plan. General plans really are permits. They permit you to do certain things. And then within that, planning area standards for different areas within the county have additional restrictions. And that's what this is meant, that's what this planning area standard means, is additional restrictions in certain areas over and above the general plan. So
I don't
know that it that encourages anything. If anything, it's more restrictive or encouraging.
Mr. Trotter, do you have any?
No.
Mrs. Worsing?
No, thank you.
Oh, this, one more little piece of business?
Yeah.
In the last paragraph, if you want to spell et cetera out, it's two words. If you want to keep it as one, it's just ETC, period.
And I guess I would, before we go forward with this, I guess I'd like to know what the intent is on that one that I mentioned, whether it's specific restrictions or guidelines. I'd like to know what the plan is to go forward with.
Yeah, with regards to the turf area. In other words, the district suggests the ordinance included specific restrictions on the amount of turf lawn area allowed in new residential construction. Of course, it doesn't say anything about the rest of the landscaping, but you know, I think if we were to revise that, I would say, I would recommend that we minimize the turf area and use drought-tolerant landscaping to the extent possible.
I'll vote for this either way, but I would prefer that specific restrictions got replaced by guidelines, because it still has the same effect in the end.
I don't know that I can add much to this debate, but typically what will happen, what staff sees the benefit of this language is it takes us, because we've considered turf restrictions in the past, as you as you may well remember, and the board, for a variety of reasons, was hesitant to move forward with that. But one of those is that it would require a significant amount of staff time to review and plan check for turf restrictions. And I'm saying there's other ones, but I'm just bringing the one to mind. What I think staff sees with having this language is that the county, who has, of course, the planning staff, to ensure that, you know, at least an initial build, that the turf restriction is met. Secondly, these things tend to go around in circles, but, you know, when there is a request for a new building permit, for an add-on, and things like that, these things are routinely rechecked to make sure on the inspections that whether or not they're in compliance with the conditions of their building permit, which is, of course, is the turf restriction. Now, I'm not trying to say this is going to be perfect, that there's going to be turf cops running around the mesa checking for this, but I do believe that the initial shot will be a turf restriction. And of course, then it goes hand in hand with our rates. They will, and water conservation, because they should be using less water with a turf restricted.
Well, I guess my problem is I think it's a little heavy-handed by government to start going beyond building permits, which is essentially building safety, into permitting landscaping. I can see fences and things like that being requiring building permits, but landscaping requiring building permits, I don't think we're there yet that we have to do that. So I would like to, I'd just like to be guidelines, but that's my preference.
Mr. LeBrun, please.
Thank you, President Verheilig. This
the question of turf restrictions actually came up at the Planning Commission meeting. County staff was, they had intended to have this in their original proposal to the Planning Commission, and it was omitted by an error by county planning staff, and they intend to put it back in. The discussion was around, at the Planning Commission meeting, came around, is it a guideline or is it a restriction? They felt like a guideline is, it doesn't say much other than, you know, you really should think about this, where they felt the restriction would see it happen. I will point out that there are a number of like restrictions that are in place in regards to water resources within the planning and building code of this state and this county, which include you know, flow restrictors in our showers and this low flush toilets is another, and that is something that the district has looked at and become involved with. All of these changes or all of these restrictions, can they be changed by the property owner once they come in? The likelihood of that, however, as we discussed, really with mutual water companies, similar thing. I mean, the cost, the property owner is going to be looking at cost, and if they go to look to increase their turf size 2-3 fold, they will also understand that they'll be looking at a significant increase in their water bill, not just the cost of putting that turf in and irrigating the irrigation system, but then the water bill subsequent to that. One of the things that the county is considering, and I listed here under moisture sensors and then metering, the county is proposing at this point to have a sub-meter included with new development that would just meter a homeowner's outdoor water use. That's not a meter that the district would be reading, at least in our position. It's not a meter we want to read. We're simply going to let them know how much water we delivered out of their one master meter, if you will. But I think I've thought about this quite a bit. I think it would be a real eye-opener to folks to see how much of their water is going to their landscape. And as you start increasing turf sizes, it's significant.
Substantial.
And, of course, those demands come on us in the summer, and that's when our now water resources, which is strictly groundwater-based, we're held to access. We get into our water crunches in the summer. So staff's happy to revise with language as the board sees fit here, though.
Well, I'd say I'll vote for it either way, but I don't see any other people as excited about this as I am. I just think it's too heavy-handed, too much of detail into people's design of their properties.
Okay. Did we, Mr. Seitz, did we open this to public comment yet? Okay, but this time then I'd like to open this item to public comment. It's been so long, my mind, crashed memory. Then seeing no public comment on this item, bring it back to the board, and I do want to reiterate that the city of I think Mr. Wynn brought it up, the city of Arroyo Grande does have a turf size limitation. Yeah. It's 100 square feet, 10 by 10, and thou shalt use drought-tolerant landscaping, period. And that's a city law. It's very clear and very succinct.
I'll tell you, I would totally agree with Mr. Eby that if we start going around checking people's yards, we would have gone too far.
Yeah.
But to say that a new homeowner is going to start off with a small lawn, and what he does afterwards is will be caught by the rates, for me that works.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not as excited.
Okay. Then we need a motion on this item.
Move approval.
And a second with the edits made and those kinds of things. We need a second on the motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Trotter. We have a motion by Mr. Wynn, a second by Mr. Trotter. Mrs. Bach-Newton, could you call for the vote, please?
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Burstein?
I'm still disagree. Because when I read this, I disagree. I think it encourages. So I'm going to have to vote no.
Director Eby?
Yes.
President Berhard?
Yes. Is anybody up for a 15-minute break? Okay, we'll reconvene at 10:45 on the Canoes. E4 is the proposed statewide general waste discharge requirements for wastewater collection systems, meaning the SSOs, the sanitary sewer overflows. Mr. LeBrun, please.
Thank you, President Verheilig. As you've said, this is a statewide general order that the State Board is considering. Staff has tracked this, and Projects Assistant Bruce Buell will have an update and overview for your board.
Mr. Buell, please.
Thank you very much. As Mr. LeBrun indicated, it is a statewide general waste discharge order. The whole intent here is to encourage, push, prod local agencies to maintain their collection systems, their sewers, all of their facilities in as good a shape as can be done reasonably with financial limits, so that it minimizes sanitary sewer overflows. Secondly, the state has a strong interest in tracking these and knowing, because there's no consistency across the state now. So over the last 18 months, the State Water Resources Control Board has done an intensive effort working with the industry to develop a series of requirements that speak to the maintenance obligations of the collection agency, the capital investment of the agency, and the look forward, the protocols for addressing spills, because regardless of what you invest in your system, there will be a circumstance where you will experience a spill. That's a part of life. So what's set forth in the regs, which we didn't publish for your board, but we'd be happy to provide them, the draft regs, to any member or anybody that is interested, is a procedure where every major collection system would be required to submit an application within 3 months of the adoption, which is currently scheduled, and it was actually, the staff notes say May 3. After we published the staff notes, we got a notice that the state board will actually consider this on the 2nd. The initial notice was the 3rd. But 3 months after, whenever it's adopted, this district, all the other major collection systems in the county and the state will be required to submit what they call as an application, which basically just buys you into their process. And then at the 6-month date, the requirement is to submit a reporting program. At the 12-month date, what they're asking for is a sewer system management plan schedule and a set of goals. Now, your board is going to be considering a budget. You will probably hold a workshop in May and consider adopting your budget in June. In that budget, staff has proposed an update to your sewer master plan. We believe that update is the perfect vehicle to address these issues and the actual sewer system management plan itself. So we see no problem in complying with the proposed deadline set forth by the state. We see these guidelines as, frankly, an opportunity to do what, as professionals, we know we should be doing, and that's fine-tuning our collection system and providing the response protocols to not only correct the spills that occur, but to report them, which isn't always done now, unfortunately, across the state. The deadline for submitting comments is today. If your board has any heartburn or wants to somehow communicate with the state, we'd be happy to make that happen. We can comment by email, but frankly, we believe these are very feasible, very doable regulations, and it's staff's position that this is an opportunity to upgrade our efforts and shouldn't be viewed as a negative.
Okay, thank you.
Just a second.
Mr. Trotter, please.
Do you see any quality issues here, other than their emphasis is on spill?
Mm-hmm.
But do you see any quality issues?
No, sir, I do not. And they were very clear that they're not attempting to change the waste discharge orders or the SDMAs. They're not changing the point-specific discharge for treatment. What they are doing is establishing the protocols for the maintenance of the collection system, and with the one exception is that they do want your district to look at pre-treatment for point of disposal for, say, restaurants. They have a section in here, I don't know if you saw it, it's called FOG.
Yeah.
Fats, oils, and greases.
Oils and grease.
And that is a significant threat, if I can use that term, to the operation of the collection system. In my experience working in collection systems where you do have spills, frequently the cause of the spill is an uncontrolled discharge of fats, oils, and greases from what would appear to be an innocuous source, but that congeals, coagulates in the line, and the material backs up behind it. So that's the one exception, is a pre-treatment requirement that you're probably going to have to improve in your current regulations.
There is a rumor, and maybe Michael can comment on this, that when your permit is renewed, the restrictions are tight. Is that true, Michael?
I think that can be assumed to be true. We have a nearly 10-year-old permit. We actually met with a regional board staff representative last Friday out at our Southland plant and discussed this item in general. And the regional board staff indicated to us that they didn't see the statewide general order as very much of a change, didn't represent much of a change from what the regional board, our local regional board, is doing already, which would indicate to me, even without this general statewide order coming through, we'd expect to see just these types of requirements in our updated permit.
Really, you two gentlemen hear this, and you can convey that to Black Lake folks. They're not in compliance now, and there's a possibility that when the permits are renewed, the restrictions will be more rigid. And I think that ought to be conveyed to the Black Lake Town Council.
Mr. Eby.
It sounds like something that, it sounds to me like this is one of these unfunded mandates that might end up requiring us to do stuff. My question is, would we probably be doing the stuff that they're going to be asking for? Would we be doing them anyway as a matter of course? Are we already doing them? Or is this just going to be an additional reporting on our part to report things that we're doing right already?
Well, we do our best to comply and to over-report, in fact. But what I see this doing, I see this as upping the priority for collection system maintenance and capital investment. As you know, you have a small staff and they have a lot to do. They must treat the wastewater at the treatment plant. They must deliver water to the customers. And to the extent that that doing preventative maintenance on a lift station can wait, it frequently has to wait. What I see these regs as really emphasizing is the importance of preventative maintenance.
Mr. Wayne.
My questions are tangential to this, and they may not apply, and if so, you'll relieve me by saying that they don't apply. Sewer system SSOs,
mm-hmm.
If they happen within the district, because of district policy, although they're not from our direct sewer system, do we still have to report? Are we still responsible?
Well, if it isn't our system, we are not responsible.
Let me explain.
Yes, sir.
When we got the original grant to build this sewer system, we committed to hooking up everybody in the district to the sewer system. We didn't do that.
No, sir.
Well, we haven't succeeded in it yet.
When we got close to the time where we had to, you know, prove compliance, the grantors of said, well, they would if we had 100, there was a number. Maybe it was 100, maybe it was bigger. If we had that number of hookups, that would equal 100%. We would be given credit for 100% equivalency. And we did a study about 2 years ago, maybe a little more, in which we actually did an inventory of who has septic systems still inside the district, right here in the old town and other places. And I can tell you for sure that in some kinds of floods, we have raw sewage going down the streets and into restaurants and other such places. From time to time, we bring this up, saying, shouldn't we be bringing these folks into compliance? And my only question to you is not about that, but rather, do we have any liability under this?
No, the regs are crystal clear. Our responsibility stops at the main. We're not responsible for customer discharges on the customer's properties.
Okay.
Now, having said that, I would suggest to your board, there's another program that I've personally been monitoring, and Director Wynn and I have talked about it for over a year, and that's the Assembly Bill 885 regulations regarding septic discharge throughout the state. That's a separate program. My understanding, talking to Todd Thompson at the State Water Resources Control Board, is that those draft regs will be republished in May. Those regs, the current version of the regs, require property owners with septic systems in impaired water bodies to install a minimum treatment system, which is equivalent to a package plant. I have no way of knowing what the final version of the regs is going to look like, or excuse me, the next version of the regs that will be released. But if that version includes a drop dead date, with the old version predicted July 1st of 2009 as the drop dead date for installing these mini treatment facilities on private properties in impaired basins, I think there would be a strong emphasis for those property owners to figure out how to hook up. Now, another component of the sewer master plan update, in my mind, is evaluating those remaining unsewered areas and evaluating the feasibility of some mechanism to install sewers in those areas, whether that be assessment districts or any other mechanism to facilitate the hookup, because I think there's going to be a drive, a push from the property owners when they realize their potential liability. We're talking $30,000 per property.
Well, we have sewer mains that go right by the places. The only thing you'd put in would be a lateral. But they're out there.
And there are still some properties in the prohibition zones that are not hooked up.
Exactly. As well as here on the east side.
We used to discuss that often. They would tell us, we'll make them hook up. Well, we don't have enforcement powers. We'd ask the Regional Water Quality Control Board to force them to hook up. They'd back off from it, and here we still are.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, for our purposes today, you've assured us that we're not.
Yes, these regs are crystal clear. Discharges from private property are not the responsibility of the district.
Mrs. Worsing?
What I have to comment would probably be more appropriate in the director's comments.
Okay. The only thing I went through and I read it word by word, and I starred every place where it called for a program or a plan. Now, some of these we may already have, but it winds up being like 14. And I think some of these we do have, but it's a small minority.
I agree.
We're going to have to generate one heck of a lot of paper. in this paperless society, which means cost. So, anyway. At this point in time, then, I'd like to open it to public comment on this item. Would certainly recommend that a copy of this be given to the folks at Black Lake so they have it for their records. This is no small, it's no small thing. Big Brother is hunching over you. Then, seeing no comment, we'll bring it back to the board. And this was just for information only. I think we've all had some pertinent comments on this. So then with that, we would now move on to item E5, which is appoint a district representative to the South County Advisory Council. And this representative would be a non-voting member. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verheilig. As your board letter outlines, our current representative to the South County Area Advisory Council is Director Eby. And Director Eby was recently elected as a Area 2 representative to that council. That's a voting position. And therefore, at this point, I guess theoretically, he's wearing both hats, but staff thought it appropriate, and actually at the request of the president, that a new appointee be made. And again, this is an ex officio or non-voting member of the Board of South County Advisory Council. So what we're looking for today is basically a process whereby your board nominates a representative and directs staff to inform the South County Advisory Council of that nomination and appointment.
Thank you, Mr. LeBrun. Open it for board comment. Mr. Eby, please.
When I heard this was going to be on the agenda from Larry, the first question I had was, who'd want to do that? But I said, it's fine with me if somebody else wants to do it. But the SCAC is trying now to get their meetings done before midnight. The goal is to get them done by 11 o'clock, so it's less of a... The idea is to make it less of a burden on the people who attend. Our first meeting where we tried to get it done by 10 o'clock, we got it done by 11:30, so we weren't totally successful. But, if somebody else wants to do it, misery loves company, I guess.
Okay, any other?
Does this person have to be a district board member, NCSD board member?
Yes.
We're in trouble, folks.
We're getting spread real thin, but yeah. Mrs. Worsen? Okay.
Well, I've done it for years.
Yes.
And I would gladly do it again.
Yeah.
I understand that it's ex officio, there's no voting, you don't hold an office in the SCAC, but I'm encouraged by Mr. Eby's leadership that it'll in fact end shorter, so I...
Why is it structured so NCSD doesn't have a better, stronger voice?
Well, actually, you do have a strong voice. You speak...
Stronger? It's not as strong as a voting group.
That may be, but actually making it an X about 5 years ago. And the reason is that I thought that there was a conflict of interest. Even though state law now says it's not a conflict, personally, I still think that you're bargaining on both sides of the table at times.
Perception is everything.
I thought that guy was an idiot, but he's retired now, so
well,
we don't have to live with
it. But still.
That's true. Well, Shirley Bjarke said yesterday.
Perception is still... Perception is still substance. And how people perceive it.
Never listen to university professors. Take it from one.
That's your man.
But I would like to nominate Mr. Wynn as our NCSD ex officio representative to the SCAC.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Trotter. We can do this just by voice vote, I believe. Is there any public comment? on this particular item. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board then, and all those in favor of Mr. Nguyen being our NCSD representative to the SCAC,
aye,
signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Abstain? So be it. Moving on to item number E6, our investment policy. This time I believe Mr. Nguyen had indicated he may leave.
I do apologize. I came out of surgery and just went like gangbusters for 2 weeks, and I was told to do nothing for 3 weeks. This week it seems to have caught up with me, and I'm kind of dragging, so thank you.
We thought you maybe had the avian bird flu or something. It was highly contagious. Ed was going to move clean to the back of the room.
I'm sorry that I'll miss it. I do hope to be there for Friday, but I won't be here the rest of the day.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Nguyen, for attending. It's the liquid sunshine out there. April showers bring May flowers.
That's our song of flowers.
That's our supplemental water out there, as Mr. Eby said.
Yeah, we're past our 16 inches, everything now is supplemental, right?
Yeah, we're going to get some good recharge this year. Okay, item number E6 is our investment policy, our first quarter report. Mr. LeBrun, please.
Thank you, President Verheilig. As the board letter outlines, this is our first quarter report of our investment policy, basically a standard format and presentation of our investment funds and the interest rate during the most recent period, and then as you move to the right, a comparison to last year's interest rate. And what we're looking for here is that the board, of course, staff would entertain any questions, and as you've all noticed today, we have a substitute for the board secretary right here next to me, and that, of course, is our assistant administrator, and she'll be able to help me answer any detailed questions here. But then following our discussion, we'll look for the board to accept the quarterly report by motion and minute order.
Okay, thank you, Mr. LeBrun. Questions, comments from the board? Any comments or questions of the investment report from the board? Open it to the general public for comments or questions on the investment report. Seeing none, we will then bring it back to the board to accept the quarterly report by motion.
I'll move that we accept the quarterly report. I don't know what the minute order means. Is that a separate?
Minute order is just a motion. It's
okay.
A motion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then that's my motion.
And do we have a second for that?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mrs. Worsing. Then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Abstain. Okay. Thank you. Item number E7 is our quarterly financial report for the third quarter. Again, Mrs. Bognuda has put this out it's great. So, with that, Mr. LeBrun, please.
Thank you, President Verheilig. I'll second your opinion that this is an excellent presentation of our financial report. I think Ms. Bognuda has made a great effort in the last year to increase the detail and presentation of this information. We're hoping it assists the board in understanding our financial position here. With that, again, following your questions, and we welcome those questions, but following these questions, and we'll look to have the board accept and direct staff to file the quarterly financial report. With that recommendation, however, I would again encourage any questions or direction the board might have to staff to improve this report as we go forward.
Thank you, Mr. LeBrun. this time, Mr. Eby, you have some.
I have about three questions. These are just curiosities more than anything. In the page one, in the supplemental water fund capacity fees, first quarter, $392,000, second quarter, 90-some thousand, and third quarter, 80-some thousand. I just was curious as to why it was such a big amount in the first quarter and evened out in the second and third. Does anybody have any observations there?
We had several developments that were on the edge, so to speak, trying to pay their capacity charges right before they went up, and it ended up that they didn't pay them until after they went up. It was like four developments came in all at one time and paid their fees, and subsequent to that, development has been slow.
Okay. Or probably more like it would normally be.
No, slow.
It's actually dropped.
As a result, if you will, of the rush prior to the adoption, then what we've seen is somewhat of a lag since the adoption. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. If you average across the period, it might be an average year. But again, this reflects a kind of a blip on the screen where we have been a rush.
Okay. Thank you.
My second question is on page two. You've got a lot of supplemental water project expenses. My question is, are these or should these be charged against fund number 500? How are they paid? Where should they be paid?
Right now, or previously, I should say, these costs have been funded with the COP money, because prior to us having the supplemental water fee charge, we didn't have any of those funds. At the next board meeting, we'll be having a resolution that will be asking the board to approve the transfer of the remaining COP monies into the supplemental water fund. And at that point, all these costs will also shift over, which then essentially means that the costs are being paid for by supplemental water charges, and COP money will be available for construction and cost.
So will that free up COP money by this amount?
No. Because
we're just taking them all
over. Basically, I'm taking it out of the property tax fund and shifting it all over, but it will be done only after board action.
Okay. But at least it'll be accounted for. These will all be accounted for under.
All under one fund, rather than right now the capacity charge revenues in one fund and the expenses are in another fund.
Okay, and that answers my third question too.
Okay, this is Worsing. Do you have some questions?
I think they've been addressed. Thank you.
Okay, I had a question on page three, and I think we went over this same thing last year with regarding to the street landscape maintenance. Because we still have one more quarter to go, but it would seem with this assessment district, the amount that we're allowed to increase it each year based on somebody's formula doesn't keep up with the cost of doing it. And I think this is the year where we were actually going to finally go into the red on it.
Well, you have to remember, this statement is as of March 31st, mm-hmm. and people have until April 10th to pay their property taxes. Mm. So in April, we'll have received a large
little
chunk,
bit more.
And it'll look better after I complete the April financial statements. That street landscape maintenance, we're only allowed to increase by CPI, even if the
right.
costs increase more than that, unless we go out to a vote of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have about $7,000 in reserve in that fund, mm-hmm. and you don't want to keep building that fund up to an excess.
Right.
So
but at some point in time,
we may have
you
to
know,
go to
we
the vote.
We may have to go to the vote because
how does the county disperse that money? Is it periodically or does it come in period? They do in quarters or whatever.
The county distributes the money monthly or more frequently, if they, especially in the months of November, December, and March and April, when people are hearing that they pay their property taxes.
Do they give you an account of the delinquencies?
We are on the teeter plan, which means we don't collect delinquencies. They pay us 100% of our property taxes, and then they're in charge of collecting delinquencies, and then they get to keep the 10% late charge.
And the land, eventually.
Right.
I have a question on that then. If everybody paid their property taxes, in a full year's property taxes in December, would you get all the money then, or do you get it when it is due?
No, we would get whatever's paid is then distributed to the district.
Okay, so I paid mine all in December, so you get all of that. If I didn't, you wouldn't get the other part till April.
That's really, well, I just, yeah, I may as well. Here, I was looking at page number 5. Operation maintenance looks like under the item of repairs and maintenance about midway through that column. We're hitting pretty hard on repairs and maintenance. Are these out of the ordinary kinds of things, or?
I think the where we're seeing the overages is in the sewer main jetting and flushing. Dan has instituted the regular routine flushing of the entire system, and I believe that is the big reason over there.
Yeah, we haven't always done the entire system before. Sometimes one year we do segments, and the next
year
we do segments.
Right, and I think this year he was trying to flush the whole system.
Okay, good. Well, that's good, really, that that is done on a regular basis. That's about it. That's all I had. And I want to thank Mrs. Bagnuta for an excellent report here. So, open it to public comment on this item. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board, and this would be accept report and file.
I move we accept and file this quarterly report.
Thank you, Mr. Eby.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mrs. Worsing. We can, I think, can we do this by voice? Okay, all those in favor of accept and file, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Any abstain? Thank you. Moving on to item number F, our manager's report. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verheilig. Under, just to pick up some highlights here, we haven't had any new allocations during this period, and this has been the second time, so it's been a month since we've made any allocations at any level by your board or under board policy at the general manager's pen. However, I know based on some actions just in the last few days that we have made some allocations, and so what you can expect to see at our May 10th meeting is a full update of our allocation spreadsheet and an assessment of where we are in the water year. So just to give you a heads up there. It's still raining, and I guess that's a good thing, but I think we're all getting a little tired maybe. I know I am. Keep cutting the weeds, they keep getting watered and coming back, but in any event. We had some excellent training on April 13th and 14th. It was all staff attended either on the 13th or the 14th, and this was CPR and adult first aid. And all staff, with the exception of our utility supervisor, Mr. Migliazzo, who was on vacation, and just an unfortunate conflict there, but we'll pick him up next year. All your staff are now certified by the American Red Cross in adult CPR and first aid.
Super.
So
do they still do mouth-to-mouth, or do they have...
They still do mouth-to-mouth. It's a good question, actually.
I mean, I want to know who's coming at me.
That's right. And
And depending on who it is, you may choose to die instead. I don't know.
Right, right, exactly.
I guess. Actually, it's a good question. There still is a mouth-to-mouth. The way first aid responders handle that now is there's an item that's it's basically a plastic face shield that has a one-way valve in it and allows you to give CPR without direct contact. And that was an item that we covered, and the district moved to purchase. The Red Cross sells them now in a little handy packet. You can put on your key ring. There's one on our administrative car key ring. And we also bought them and outfitted all the field staff with those. So and the key ring, and I think we have some in a drawer here also. So you can all rest assured it won't be any of us directly assisting you back to life. We'll go
some
get
of them be
the barrier. Understood.
Yeah.
You know, so you won't have to make that choice or file any paperwork with the district. We'll make sure that we have the barrier in place.
Sort of depends on what gender and who. Who.
Do I get to pick?
Yeah, if you get to pick. You know,
on your way down.
Yeah.
And hopefully the fingers. Anyway.
There's no saying game for the storm.
Yeah, that's right.
That's about right.
I don't know, John. You got a mustache and beard.
Stretch back.
Could you sign this? Obviously, there's a document you carry for walls that do not process.
DNR,
DNR.
I have one of those. DNR, and then it's got the names of people who are allowed to.
The following are allowed to perform DNR.
Well, like I say, it was outstanding training. I think it was we ran from about 8 in the morning to about 1, and we did half staff one day and half the other, and so we could, of course, keep our administrative function open.
That's always very good.
Yeah, it was great. Now, we have here, we need to schedule, and it sounds like we have another study session we'd schedule. I didn't expect Director Wynn to be out, but I think we could still try to set some dates down here. What we desire, what staff would like, is a study session with the full board on our draft budget for fiscal 2006-2007. Mm-hmm. We're also then looking to schedule a study session on the annexation policy. And thirdly, I've noted an item here. And you saw a memo, I think all directors received a memo regarding fluoridation and chloramines versus chlorine. And these are issues that will be coming with the San Mario water supply, supplemental water as we envision it now. And in light of that, staff has scheduled what they call webcast training. This is training that goes on via an active web interface, and that's scheduled for May 3rd. And we welcome any attendance by directors, and we need to know, because if we get a big enough audience, we can actually broadcast and do something, project up on the screen, something like this. So all ears for the discussion. On study sessions, I think we did hear Wednesdays is the desirable date.
Is it wise to schedule both the annexation and the financial the same day, get more bang for the buck, are people able to do that?
I think from a staff perspective, we're certainly capable of doing that. Of course, Ms. Bognuda will carry most of the load on the budget study session, and then as far as the annexation policy, that would be my responsibility.
May 3rd, too. Judith and I will be meeting with Ralph Anderson and Associates at 3 p.m. to discuss.
And the RAC meeting as well.
And Mr. Wynn
has
a RAC meeting that day.
Me too.
And we have the webcast, as you'll see, at 10 to 11:30 in the morning. Now that's
what I was thinking that day. You could add it on to that, but I guess not. It's not good.
And now I think it was Director Eby who requested we stick to Wednesdays.
Well, it doesn't make that much difference to me. I like Tuesdays and Thursdays free for the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Commission. But most people, if they can attend NCSD meetings on Wednesdays, they could probably attend them any Wednesday, I was thinking. So I thought, but Monday's a possibility too. I'm pretty flexible except for Tuesdays.
Well, I would think possibly May the first Monday would be for the budget. I think that might be more appropriate than the annexation.
That's something on May 1st. What is it?
You know, or it's we like could Christmas. Do it the 5th.
There's something happening. Oh, May 1st is Clara's economic thing in the evening.
And that's at 5:30 at the high school.
That's okay, as long as we can get to that.
That's also a day we would meet for setting the agenda at 3.
On the,
about the second.
On the budget study session, I don't think your attendance is critical, but I certainly on the annexation policy we're going to need. And the thought on the annexation policy too, I think it would help staff to form that study session if we had an opportunity. At least I know Director Eby, you said.
I'll give you mine today if I've got time and if you've got time in between the other things.
Okay. If not today, well, subsequent, because I think the board's going to need some time prior to that first interview. And we do have some closed session items other than the interviews that I know council would like to cover. But in any event, if we could do something.
I've got it all right here. What are the final two dates that these two issues here that were May 1st and May 3rd, what are the two dates now? Are they established?
They are not established.
They're
That's
not
what we're,
established, yeah.
We may have to go into the week of Monday the 8th, is what I'm hearing, unless I'm...
Well, is anybody up for doing anything Friday the 5th?
Budget? Don said I do have to get the agenda ready. I have to...
Yeah, that's true. For staff, that's a difficult day.
If Donna was here, it would be fine with it.
Okay, then I guess we need to go to the next week then. Of which Wednesday will be our normal board meeting. May 9th is, that's when the Board of Supervisors will be considering the land use ordinance changes for the area.
Area planning standard.
Thank you, area planning standard.
And the growth management ordinance.
And the GMO too. And I think most of the board, some of the board will be there for the whole shot. And then we could stay and meet with a recruiter. We could spend another whole day here.
Well, no, that could. I think we could squeeze a budget study session in on May 3rd.
Yeah, I don't envision that being all that long. It's pretty.
I think it's.
I've
pretty
already done my part.
Cut and dry, and I've done my part on it.
So
it's
so
just you know.
The budget. Right, so we can look to the budget study
for
session.
Possibly May 3rd at 9.
For.
Wants to go to the webcast at
10,
it could be start
earlier,
like
8:15, 8:30. Is that webcast worthwhile, Mike?
It's hard to know at this point. I think it'll certainly, staff looks to see some information there. It's the National Academy of Sciences has recently reviewed work by the Centers for Disease Control, and then it's the Dentistry's
American Dental Association.
Dental Association. Both the American Dental Association and Centers for Disease Control came out with studies that were basically on opposite sides of the fence with fluoridation. National Academy of Sciences is an independent review board that has now looked at the situation and they'll be presenting.
I think it would be quite important for Ed and Cliff to be there, isn't that right, Bruce? Because of the pipeline, treatment plant.
Like I say, staff agrees. I mean, fluoridation,
I'm more likely to go to it if it's right up against another meeting, too,
okay.
Because I can kill two birds.
So I think...
How do we do the recruiter?
Well, we have that in the afternoon at 3. We were thinking for
at
the
3.
Budget study session.
Maybe...
Do we want to start at 8? 8 is fine with me.
I think 8:30 would work and would give us enough time, a full hour. Again, I think we've had...
So it would be 8:30 and 3?
For the webcast, 8:30, and then the webcast starts at 10, and that would take you to 11:30. The difficulty, I think, is that Wiersing and Verheilig have a 3 o'clock appointment in the afternoon. We might consider the webcast 10 to 11:30 study session on the budget, more midday-ish, and then that would mm-hmm. put you both then.
Put us closer to the
put us closer.
3 p.m.
Yeah.
But again, Mike and Ed have a 1 o'clock commitment.
That's right. Then we have a rack.
Oh.
The Water Resources Advisory.
Yeah, right. if you did the budget first thing in the morning,
sure.
The webcast,
right.
Then Mike and I could run off to the rack and
you're free the rest of the
yeah.
night. Yeah, well, let's go ahead with the 8:30. Ah, boy.
At 10:30.
I've read too much of this already and it's starting to get foggy. 8:30, Wednesday the 3rd for the budget. Mrs. Bognut, is that okay with you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Budget. Then Mr. LeBrun mentioned another item about the annexation policy. Do we want to set a date certain on that, or?
If we can.
Because it actually sounds like this is going to turn out to be more than just editorial type changes in it. Sounds like this is going to be looking at the whole annexation policy.
Well, I think we should.
For
I mean,
possible revision.
I mean, I disagree with what Mike Wynn said about we can't change things that are already there. But if we're changing things that are already there because of events that have happened since then, we can also change other things that... I don't see why not.
It's basically wide open.
I think he was reflecting on today's item.
Yeah.
This is all I'm saying. But clearly, it's the board policy, and it's wide open, as Councilor said. It's your policy, and we can change it as your board feels fit. And it sounds like it'll be a study session that we're going to need to allow a couple hours for, and that staff is going to need more than just a quick preparation.
Yeah, it's going to need some preparation.
That's why we need to move out. So we're looking at the week of the 8th. We have the board meeting on the 10th. I can tell you, as shown on your agenda today, there is an annexation. That was shown on the agenda today, but I don't see it actually. We have the Craig annexation, which now has a complete application to us, and I need, I think there's some need to process that application forward. I'd hope to refine some of these issues, the annexation policy first, at least in regards to the capacity fees and how we'll address those. But your board will recall when we handled the Holloway annexation, just this past fall, staff just did some work within the annexation agreement to make clear the board's position as far as the requirement that annexation would have to acquire additional supplemental water supplies above and beyond our 3,000 and that. So staff's willing to do that. But I think there is, as you'll recall, again, the Board of Supervisors made a call with the Craig annexation and condition them that they come to us for annexation and water service. And mm-hmm. staff feels that if we don't
proceed in, you know, in a reasonable fashion to processing this application. We may, you know, there's no board policy, Board of Supervisors policy on that position yet. We vote for it on May 9th.
What about Greg Sewer? How is he going to accommodate that?
Craig is a, they're 1 acre home sites and they'll be going on septic.
Okay.
So they're 1 acre home sites. So it's a water only annexation. But again, I think the staff feels that.
Yeah, and I have to, Mr. Ken Craig is not what you would call a very tolerant, patient kind of a person. He's rather gruff and abrupt and you know, the next person you'll be talking to is my legal. Anyway, I'm just trying to, I think for this, my personal feeling is staff needs to move ahead on it and process it. I don't see any, don't know what changes will be made, but some, you know, you have to draw the line someplace.
If I may, staff's position, and I don't know Mr. Craig personally, and my position is more reflecting on the fact that we've had the Board of Supervisors give some direction to recent general plan amendments in our what staff perceived at least to be in our favor, that's conditioning them to come to the district and annex for water service, and I am a bit cautious of the fact that we should process those annexations, at least make a clear decision as to how this board feels about those annexations in a timely manner, or I would expect that those folks would be charging back to their supervisor and saying, hey, you know, the district doesn't plan on annexing us, and blah, 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 blah.
Well, are you proposing that we handle that matter before or after we nail down our new annexation policy?
How long have you had it on your desk?
It's been a complete annexation application for over 30 days now. And I've had conversations with the applicant and outlined to them my thought that we would clean up our annexation policy a bit here and then bring them on the 10th. But I assured them that that's as long as I delay it and we bring them on the 10th.
Well,
you
can do what you want. I'm not going to try to direct you, but I would think it would be appropriate to have them on the new annexation policy rather than the old one. Not knowing what the new annexation policy is going to be, there might be profound things that come in there that might affect how we want to treat them.
I think it's sort of forget one little comment. You know, when we recently did the Holloway annexation, we didn't follow our policies weren't implemented into the agreement. It was that they were going to secure supplemental water as part of that annexation process. I agree with Ed, it's always a better deal to have the updated annexation policy in front of the board. But we clearly say in our annexation policies that we can impose different conditions than what's in our annexation policy. On the other hand, it's never been the policy that I can ascertain from this board to sit on applications for
an unspecified period of time.
Yeah. Well, the only reason that I wouldn't call sit on it, but I would say link it to the completion of the new annexation policy is one of the things that I'm going to ask you for that you haven't even heard about yet, a change to the annexation policy. And it's going to have to do with future annexations and having them sign something that holds us harmless for certain behavior. And I'm going to request that get into our annexation policy and all of our annexation agreements.
Mm-hmm. We do have a pretty strong indemnity clause in our annexation policies now, but not that it can't be improved, of course.
Well, my thought is that we proceed with the Craig annexation. It's just one that you just can't sit on it forever. Yeah, it'd be nice to hold off, and there are certain people that would, agree with to do that. One of them was here today, but not Mr. Craig, unfortunately.
Well,
I think we're back to setting a study session for our annexation policy.
Yeah.
What it comes down to, and as far as the agenda for the May 10th meeting, that will be set on the 3rd of the night. Mm-hmm. Or on the 1st.
Well, if you want to get it before the next meeting, the 9th is kind of out because that's Board of Supervisors, but the 8th is a Monday. I don't have any plans there that I know of.
Yeah, how does the 8th look for the annexation policy?
Would the afternoon about 3 be agreeable?
It's fine with me.
I still work.
Afterwards, we could all go someplace and get stoned.
Is three given us? I guess we can go beyond 5 o'clock if we need.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it could take 3 hours. It's probably going to take at least 2.
Yeah, I think so.
So 2:30? Yep, 2.
You want to go start at 2?
I don't care. I just think we ought to be able to go at least 3 hours, no matter when we start.
So 2 is better than morning.
Yeah, I think I prefer to start a little earlier. Okay. So 2 p.m. on Monday, the 8th of May, for our annexation.
2 p.m.?
Yes.
Yeah. 2 p.m.? That works for everybody? Man, we're going to be running up a bunch of director bills.
Yes. Monday,
stipend.
May 8th.
Be able to pay for the increase in gas.
I don't know if the Finance Committee ought to recommend all this. CSD annexation policy. Ed, by the time next Monday the 8th rolls around, they'll probably have it up to 350, 349.9. Yep. Sounds like our legal counsel in their race.
I fought my wife because I didn't want to buy the Prius. Now she sounds smart. We bought it, so.
Good.
Well then, with that, I'll maybe decipher this final paragraph of the administrative other. A little bit ambiguous, you may understand why. I've had a number of discussions now with county building inspectors to make sure that we don't have any occupancies released on buildings where the district's infrastructure has not been completed. There have been miscommunications in the past, and none recently, but your board directed staff to make sure that in a particular development, the far southern reaches of our district boundary, that we didn't see any hookups there before the district was ready. And as I said, I've had discussions with the county inspectors, and I've come to find out a little education that there's one inspector who looks at streets, gutters, and sidewalks, and yet another inspector who looks at the building for readiness and occupancy. And in the latter case, when I spoke with the building inspector, I actually spoke with the supervisor of of the inspector staff, and I was surprised that gentleman wasn't aware of this particular development as well as every other inspector and every other county agency is. And suggested and encouraged that inspector to speak with county staff at all levels, just to make sure that they understood the full breadth there of development and make sure that we're coordinating. And I think it was a good discussion and a good sharing of information. So I feel very confident that with all of our developments as we go forward, there'll be good coordination between your district staff and the county's building department inspectors. So.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. LeBrun.
And with that, you have a couple of attachments here, including the memorandum from District's Project Assistant. It gives update on a number of our projects, and staff is
welcoming any questions. Bruce, did you have anything particular?
No. I stand by the written submission.
Okay. Any questions or comments for Mr. Buell regarding his project's update? I found it quite good. Wow. Hopefully we won't have that hump out in front on our capital projects for too much longer, and we'll actually get some of this stuff done. Mr. Eby, any? Okay, Mrs. Worsing, any questions, Mr. Buell, on his?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you very much, staff, for that. Moving on, then, we'll go to committee reports. And we'll start with Mr. Eby. Actually, you have yours in our package.
Bruce has done all the work for me, so we had our supplemental water standing committee meeting where we considered how to fund the supplemental water construction, operation, and maintenance, and there's a very good report attached here in the minutes.
I did draft some edits when you're ready for those.
Fire away.
Okay, if I might,
Mr. President, I'd like to distribute a revised set. You can look on page 2, section, the end of section 4B, there's some italic print, and this is responding to. Director Eby's request for additional information in the minutes reflecting the committee's discussion. So let me just read,
and I just for the record, for the recording, I did make extra copies for the public.
So I'll leave these here for the public.
And the additional language. The committee agreed by consensus to recommend that the board revisit the 2005 rate study by the Reed Group to determine if the current capacity charge should be re-examined in the light of recent increases in engineering estimates of cost. That spoke to one issue, and earlier in the minutes there was also an extended discussion of the interaction between the two components of the capacity charge. The $9,901 for City of Santa Maria water versus the $1,220 for the construction of the supplemental water project. So those two factors are at play here.
Yeah, the thing that drove this request for them to take a second look at this was when we looked at the capacity charge to the capacity cost, the capital cost to build the pipeline, and we looked at the debt service cost. It looked like the debt service cost was less of a challenging financing than the capital. No surprise. You got a $10 million project, you got to come up with that money all at once, whereas the debt service you come up with a little bit every year. So the thing staring us in the face was it's going to be tough to finance this in the first place without putting into debt the current NCSD customers. So we're trying to get creative ways around that. One of them might be to reallocate the capacity fees that the Reed Group came up with to see if there's any logical rationale for putting more of it up front so that we can help those costs towards capitalizing the system. And that's what the comments were here. That's what the addition was.
Yeah, I've often wondered about that myself, if we couldn't use some of the portion of the pay for the water and move that over to get the project done.
But the other thing that really, really stood out and made me realize it, whether whether people realize it or not, was the biggest swinger in all of the capital costs, the biggest component is the money we're going to get from the other purveyors. And the importance of us getting the money that we think we're going to get from them, because that's the biggest, if we get as much as we would like from them, the most we could get from them under the logical amount that we should get from them, that's going to be the biggest single element in our whole capital costs. And if we don't get any, we're in dire straits. If we get a lot of it, we still have a way to go. So that's the biggest, I hope those negotiations go well, because that's going to be the big swinger.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Eby. Also, the finance subcommittee met with staff on April 17th, and we went over the draft budget with staff and had a lot of questions answered, and sort of Mrs. Bognuda was kind enough to help us navigate through the budget to see where some of the figures came from and went and so on and so forth, and what was derived. And I want to again say it's a very thorough effort put into this draft budget for this coming fiscal year. Any other committee reports?
Bruce, in my YMS committee, Bruce reports on that, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. LeBrun?
Personnel subcommittee, I believe, met and reviewed the general.
We didn't meet since our last board meeting on the 12th.
You didn't get paid for it if you did.
Last met as a board on April 12th. On the 14th was the date for closing of applications.
Right.
And we had five applications at which your subcommittee met, I believe, over that weekend of the 15th and 16th. Well, then you did not.
No, because you were leaving to go up to Sacramento for the governance day until your tire went flying off, creating all kinds of chaos. Isn't it wonderful, all the hours of boredom and then you get this 5 seconds of absolute terror. Sure gets your heart going. Mr. Trotter.
Bruce and I have a plan to go to Bakersfield on the 9th to look at some water treatment plants, tanks, pipelines, whatever, spreading programs, and I would like authorization for mileage and a minor per diem. It's going to be a long day going over there and back.
That's true, and I don't think you need, according to our bylaws, I don't think you need authorization.
Well, technically,
from the board.
I think we do.
Mr. Seitz, can you?
Expenditure.
Okay.
Is that right, John?
Yeah, because it's not covered by our bylaws, and our bylaws say that something that's outside.
I move we authorize the expenses for that trip.
I'll go ahead and second that. And I think we could probably do this by just a voice vote, yeah. Mr. Seitz. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Abstain? So be it.
We were going to borrow the district's mini car, but we figured it was going to be busy.
And small.
And it's small for a long trip, too. So
their kitty car.
Well, it probably gets pretty good mileage.
It'll be the same.
Okay. Then I think at this time, we're through with the committee reports. Then director comments, Mr. Eby?
Yes. I have some. Those are the easy ones first.
Good.
The outside speaker doesn't seem to be working. We had a session in here this Saturday, and they hooked up the microphones, and the inside mics worked. But I went outside because I was afraid there was going to be an overflow crowd, and I couldn't hear the outside speaker working.
It only works if you are in the cabinet.
They were in the cabinet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Supposed to be.
Yeah, AGP Video came in, and he hooked into there and hooked up our microphones and everything. And that outside speaker is very important if you have an overflow crowd or if somebody wants to eavesdrop on you.
There's a gain switch.
There's a separate switch. Yeah. Yeah, it's a separate switch for the outside mic.
Okay.
Or the outside speaker.
The next one was, in looking at the annexation policy, I guess I wasn't the only one that noticed that it was difficult to follow the edits.
Yeah.
I like the old-fashioned way where you line out the old stuff and you put in italics or color the new stuff. So yeah. Maybe we could talk our outside contractors who provide that service to use something else to make it easier to read. Just a comment. The other one, regarding the lady that was talking about meeting times and videotaping, maybe we ought to revisit that on a future agenda. I think in the past our rationale for not changing the meeting time and for doing the not taping the video was we didn't get an overwhelming response from the public. In rethinking that, you don't get an overwhelming response from the public on anything around here. So as far as making it easier for the people who are interested in something like that, I think it might be worth considering revisiting, do we want to do a video, do we want to change the meeting times, and that could be a fairly quick item for a future agenda. I wouldn't favor doing a whole new polling because there's a large apathetic population here that wouldn't respond anyway, but there also is an equally important active and involved population that I think would benefit from it. So that's a thought for a future agenda item. Finally, the SCAC had a stormy meeting the other night regarding the growth management ordinance changes. The growth management ordinance is asking to be changed by the developers who are finally feeling the pinch because they're using up all our allocations and it's pushing their developments out several years. And the argument has been, the developers are asking for relief on the growth management. What relief are the residents getting on the infrastructure? And that's a big deal. So the SCAC approved of the changes to the growth management ordinance in general, but we had three particular areas where we didn't like the changes. One of them was raising the cap in Napomo from 1.8 to 2.3% for certain types of projects. They're described by growth, by smart growth, green build, and senior housing.
Right.
Yet those three things were not defined. And when you ask them what is smart growth, they say, well, it's in a document that we're revising or developing right now, won't be ready for till July. And the argument was, well, how can you change something now, an ordinance now that refers to those documents that don't even exist? So that was why we didn't like that one. And there were a couple of parts of the land use ordinance that had that in it that we objected to. And then the third thing, they asked for an increase in the allocation of multifamily. We didn't like that because multifamily has been misused recently by planning and developers to put in single-family homes in multifamily zoning, and you end up with two bad things. One is you reduce your area of places that can have multifamilies, like apartments, putting postage stamp size houses in there that clearly violate the single-family residence area, and they're coming up with regularly now, there's at least four projects that they're trying to put in with 2,500 square foot lots, which is that lot size is smaller than a lot of people's garages, and you end up with not something that rural Napomo wants to see. So that was our action there. That's all.
Okay, well, thank you. Director comments, Mrs. Worsing?
Yes, excuse me. when we were talking earlier about the septic and the wastewater. Maybe it'd be nice to include in Madonna Dunbar's conservation, maybe to a maintenance of your septic, because a lot of people that are moving in here have never had septics before, and they really don't know how to take care of them. Like, we never put grease down our septic, or, you know, all various
fats, oils,
yes,
anything, household cleaners, man, none of that stuff.
And then the grease could possibly be taken to our hazardous waste site,
which is
every Saturday. It's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Worsing. Mr. Trotter, director comments. Okay, I have a few. Probably should have mentioned this under committee, but the personnel committee, Mrs. Worsing and myself, will meet with Ralph Anderson on the afternoon of May 3rd at 3 o'clock here to discuss starting the process for hiring the permanent GM. On the 13th at the Black Lake Gyros Men's Club, Madonna and myself were there talking about, I did native plants for home landscaping, she did water conservation. Created a lot of interest, have been approached several times on what's a good native grass for a lawn, you know, and also they expressed a very big interest in redoing some of the common area landscaping to be low water usage type landscaping. Anyway, just wanted to pass that along. We had our CSDA annual meeting in Oceano on the 21st. Mr. Trotter was there, I was there, Mr. Wynn was there, Mrs. Worsing was there. We missed you guys. But and Mr. Buell was there from NCSD, and of course Mr. Seitz was there just as the legal representative of the whole shebang. It was very nice. We had a very nice time there. With regards to the one item that was to vote for an alternate for CSDA rep to LAFCO, that could not be accomplished because of the lack of a quorum.
What
that'll be put out.
What quorum did you need at that? Or quorum,
well,
who?
You would need to talk to Mr. Seitz on that.
Let me just respond.
He gave about a 20-minute dissertation on what.
Oh, don't even put him in the answer.
Yeah, right.
This one will only go for 15. I'll cut it down by a third. No, the deal is, this is a LAFCO. This is a state law. This isn't anything the CSDA chapter made up. Is in the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act. The selection committee for our LAFCO representatives is required to be made up of a quorum of all of the special districts. Typically, it's the presiding officer or the board's delegate, but it has to.
Say that, someone else
don't hear
it.
They say it. But it has to be after 12.
But it has to be an elected official from the board. You can't send your manager to vote. And the special districts here are made up primarily of CSDs, a couple water districts, a couple sewer districts, but then a whole lot of cemetery districts. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to get the cemetery districts to come to our meetings because LAFCO has very little to nothing to do with them. So that's been.
But they're part of the quorum. They're part of the quorum.
Yeah.
They're part of the quorum. So there is a default, and you're going to be seeing this coming up. There's a default provision in the Cortese-Knox Act where Paul Hood, for lack of a better word, becomes by default our election official. He's going to send out a written form for nominations from all the special districts. He will then put together a slate, and then he'll mail that slate out and at a board meeting. You'll get the opportunity to vote on what member that's on that slate you want for the alternate. It just takes months to accomplish. It's a good procedure, but it's not very efficient.
It wasn't going to happen that evening, obviously. Anyway, then moving on, Monday evening at the high school, Monday, May 1st at 5:30, the Napomo High School, whatever you call it.
Make your reservation.
They are having a planning for the future, which is sponsored by the Napomo Chamber of Commerce. So, and so that's it.
Did you know that there was reservations required?
Yeah, it says right on the
little flyer. Well, the first one that came out said there wasn't. But, so they wanted to know who
was. Well, they want to have an approximate head count so they can. But yeah, so that's all I have for director's comments. At this time, then, we will go into closed session. Mr. Seitz, if you could get us started in that direction.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Let the record reflect that there is no audience. We do have four items on the closed session. Hitting the pending litigation, all of which is pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9. We have the groundwater adjudication. This is in Santa Clara County. We have Maria Vista versus the NCSD. We have the Kahn lawsuit, Citizens Against Non-Notification versus NCSD. And lastly, pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, we have a public employee appointment. And this is the interim general manager's position. And again, on that last one, I'd probably recognize that when we come back at 1:30 that we would, if there's a public, we would give them the opportunity to readdress the board, just because of the way we have it on the agenda.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Seitz. With that, I'm going to open it for public comment on anything on the closed agenda. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board and we will go into